Welcome to another installment of Queer Talk Radio. This is Carter Witt. I will be your guest interviewer today. And joining me are the co-chairs of the Gay and Lesbian Straight Education Network of Middle Tennessee. So I want to welcome Brad Palmer-Turry. Welcome, Brad.
Thank you, Carter.
And his co-chair, Callie Weiss. Welcome, Callie.
Good morning.
So thank you both for joining me today. And we're going to jump into explaining what is GLSEN Middle Tennessee. This is a newly accredited chapter?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is a newly accredited chapter. In about April of 2010, we got together. Well, actually, I contacted the national office and come to find out that Brad had already been in touch with the national office about starting a chapter. And so they got us together and we formed a steering committee of people and started talking about forming our own chapter, and we weren't sure at the time whether we were going to be all of Tennessee or just Middle Tennessee
or even just Nashville.
Yeah, so we had a lot of discussions about how we're going to set that up, and then we submitted that in, I believe it was November, December 2010, and got ourselves approved in February this past year, and then submitted a renewal for that just a few months ago, and so we've got a whole year of approval for our accreditation.
Yeah. It's an annual cycle that each chapter has to go through, a reaccreditation process, and it's kind of arduous, but it's definitely a labor of love, and it was something that it took a while for us to get to where we are, but it's definitely been worth it.
Right, and we've had a lot of wonderful people a part of the development of our chapter, and that have stayed on to continue with the board. It is arduous to get it going, but it is worth it once we get to talking about all the possibilities and the things that we want to do to make schools safer for our LGBT youth.
Right. So I am drawn by the group that you said sort of just fell into place. What makes up your GLSEN chapter, your board here in Nashville? What type of individuals?
Well, we have a wide variety of individuals on our board. I'm in education. I'm in higher education. Brad works with the healthcare campaign, and we've got people that are in the Department of Ed and that work at the Oasis Center. Just a whole host of wonderful people, counselors, PFLAG president,
We have two people who identify as trans.
Yes.
That's your Dr. Marissa Richmond, who's president of TTPAC. I'm sure you're familiar with their work, is on the board as well. Stephen Henry, who's president of the Metro Nashville Education Association, and has been a GLSEN cohort for many, many years. I'm on the board of Tennessee Equality Project as well, and the National Association of Social Workers. We have two people who work at the Oasis Center, and one who's part of the Just Us program, which is a youth serving.
We've spoken with them recently. Yes.
Pam's great. She's on
the board. So GLSEN is not strictly those in the academic setting. It is a broad support type organization.
Yeah.
And as well as Middle Tennessee's chapter is brand spanking new, GLSEN itself nationally has been well established. For how long? Can you give me a little background?
For a little over 20 years, actually. GLSEN was started by an educator, his name is Kevin Jennings, who just left a post at the White House, actually. He was the quote-unquote safe school czar for a while. Under the Obama administration, he just left to start a new adventure with a nonprofit, a national nonprofit. But he started the first Gay Straight Alliance with a straight student of his in Massachusetts, and that snowballed into a national organization. And they named it the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network with the hopes of implementing safer schools for all students. So, yeah.
There's about 34 chapters
around the state, around the country, rather. We're the first one in the Deep South. There's two or three maybe in Florida. There are other safe schools networks and safe schools organizations like Mississippi Safe Schools, Alabama Safe Schools,
I think
as well. There's Georgia. You know, there are other organizations that we partner with that I know people with, but they're not accredited GLSEN chapters.
Right. same area of expertise and same work, but different umbrella.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned a couple of times that this was launched around a Safe Schools kind of initiative. I believe that program comes with some GLSEN Safe Space kits and training. Mm-hmm. Is this a broader program you're working on?
It is, yeah. It is. GLSEN last year started a Safe Space Kit campaign. And for those who are familiar with GLSEN will know that GLSEN actually just won a huge national grant of $250,000 thanks to the Pepsi Refresh Challenge. And they have garnered all that money to go towards the Safe Space Kits. And the Safe Space Kit is a... The Safe Space Kit itself is... it's like a notebook full of great information for school counselors, for social workers, psychologists, administrators, teachers, about how to be an ally for LGBTQ youth, how to best serve them with the capacity in which they work at the school level. Also has some posters, a couple of Safe Space posters and Safe Space stickers that they can post in their classroom or their office to let students know that they are in a space that is going to be safe for them to talk and act how they feel.
And so, just kind of as a FYI, these can also be designated on the website, on GLSEN's national website, to go to a school of your choice. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's interested in sending one to their alma mater or whatever, where they went to high school, they can certainly do that and make sure that they get one.
Yeah, you can go to the GLSEN website, and they're $20, and that's what it takes to put these things together and to send them via mail.
So if someone wanted to sponsor it for their school, but they probably need to make sure they have a contact ready to receive it.
That would be the best approach. It's not always feasible.
Right.
But that would, of course, be the best approach, yes.
But, you know, 20 alumni bombarding a school with 20 kids might get a message, too. So there's another thought.
Exactly.
But to go along with that, we do have Safe Space Kit trainings in Nashville to go along with those to help educators and counselors and such be familiar with what they're getting and how to best implement them. Mm-hmm. We actually just held one here in Nashville last month for 69, I think, school counselors volunteered to come to that training. There's more happening on the 14th, which is just like September 14th.
Another one in February.
And another one in February for social workers and psychologists. So GLSEN National actually just announced that they were going to blanket the state of Tennessee with Safe Space Kits. So every public and private middle and high school here in the state of Tennessee will be receiving a free Safe Space Kit thanks to the Pepsi Refresh Challenge. And Tennessee's only the third state that GLSEN has done that for. So that's really, really exciting for
that's
us.
That's very exciting. Do you know when those are going to start showing up?
In the next couple of months. They're going to start rolling out really soon.
So that's, and now are you all, that's kind of amazing because they're going to land in schools where they're not expecting them. Are you doing some advanced work to try to prepare them to receive these, or?
Yeah, I really want to talk. We have national, you know, liaisons at the national office, and Jenny, who's the education manager, and I have been talking about how best to, we need to figure out how best to work with the counselors when they receive them and make sure they're not just going on a shelf or going in the trash, for that matter, as well.
And also to hopefully have the chance to talk to them about them and educate them, because one of the things we do concern ourselves with is, especially with the stickers and the posters, somebody putting them up and not really knowing how best to work with a student that comes to them. So we want to make sure that they're comfortable and aware of the best approaches.
This is a great time to talk about a website, because we're going to be throwing around a lot of information.
Yeah.
So the Tennessee chapter web address is?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. It's really long. It's like GLSEN.org/ Iowa/ MTENN, perhaps? I'm not sure. It's really long.
But
if you just Google GLSEN Middle TN,
right,
you get right to it. Or our Facebook page. Actually, I can tell you our Facebook page real quick.
Right.
Facebook.com/GLSEN Middle TN.
Middle TN.
That's easy.
Okay.
The national website, though, is really long and just complicated.
But so your official site out on the web is under the tree of the National Glisten. Okay, so they can find you through just glisten.org.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's those sequences through. So the reason I want to mention that is the training, the kits. Mm-hmm. There's information on contacting you all through your web address on getting this training.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Now we have an email address too that they can email if they would like more information about it, and that's middletn@chapters.glisten.org.
Okay. I know one of the things that you sent me and we got to talking about, and I have to say, sad to read here, this climate survey, the school climate in Tennessee for Glisten Research brief from 2009, and this is targeted, first of all, at secondary schools, so we're talking 10 to 15 range, is that correct? What is secondary school? I have been out for a while.
Just high school.
Just high school. Oh, okay. It's rough in our high schools here in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, it is. Mm-hmm. The school, first of all, Glisten National does a school climate survey every 2 years. The 2009 National School Climate Survey was their 10th year in doing it, and for the first time, there were enough high school students from Tennessee, glean some state-specific information from it. So,
got enough responses to get an actual statistical mass.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The numbers itself on the national survey are not pretty either, but the Tennessee ones are even more not pretty.
And there are some sad statistics here comparatively. We got 98% hearing gay used negatively and hearing words like fag and dyke on a regular basis. And many of them don't feel comfortable talking to someone about it.
Right. So the survey respondents are self-identified GLBT questioning youth.
Right.
And among these Tennessee ones, we're looking at 98%, 92% for just negative remarks or negative responses. One thing I'm kind of also hearing, racist remarks and sexist remarks, they're not any further away. I mean, we're raising boorish kids across the scale here in Tennessee, so it's not really just the queer youth, is
right.
it?
Right.
Yeah.
And this horrible, this other statistic that's a little rough, that they're hearing it from 42% of the staff.
That leads right into the whole issue of them being able to fill up comfortable to report it, that I believe it's like almost a fourth of the students, they do report it, but that means there's 3 out of 4 students almost that don't say anything about being harassed or assaulted. Or
and most who don't report it because they don't believe that people are actually going to do something about it. But on a positive note, you know, there is something that came out of the survey. You know, 92% of students could identify at least one supportive staff person. And that's a plus. We could piece out so many negative things about this, but me, the fatal optimist, likes to look at the bright things as well and to focus on those for a little bit too.
So there exists in our schools a individual who's ready to receive this kit we've talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess your goal nowadays is finding that academic.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The school counselors tend to be the first go-to person, or the school social worker, if there is one. Mostly because they have, you know, as a social worker myself, I know that I'm bound to, there are codes of ethics that I must adhere to. School counselors and the school social workers are very receptive to this information, especially now after the uptick in the media reporting of the suicides last fall. Not an epidemic by any means, because we know that this is nothing new, but in terms of being reported to the national media, it definitely is. So after all of that and the national dialogue on bullying right now, this is a very, this is a topic that they're really hungry to learn more about.
Yeah. And the start of the school year is always a tough time for students who are going into the schools, and it's also a hot time to talk to the counselors and social workers, because they're trying to figure out how best to work with their students on these issues, and they're probably getting a lot of bombarding, you know, students having trouble in the beginning of the school year. So this is a good time.
Because it always starts at the beginning of the school year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for instance, we're seeing right now in Monroe County, Tennessee, in East Tennessee, in a town called Madisonville. A kid is trying to start a gay straight alliance, and he's getting a little bit of pushback from the administration. There are some things in there that there's a lot more at play than just the administration pushing back, but the fact that it's made statewide news and national blogs, at least, are reporting on it says a lot. You know, this is something that the national discourse is not—it's not finished with yet.
Actually, this kind of brings up a wonderful time to talk about one of the functions that Listen does in their Days of Action, and this is a collection of events and different things. One of which is the Day of Silence, which we've all heard about, mainly because it also garnered some counter days this year, of all things.
Yes.
We want to, I guess, start with the Day of Silence. What is that day about?
Well, the Day of Silence is a day in April every year that students vow to take, well, students agree to take a vow of silence, really, for the whole day. And it's to call attention to the silencing effect that LGBT students face on a daily basis. So students stay silent all day. They hand out cards to their teachers and friends to let them know why they're being silent. And you're right, it did garner a lot of attacks from conservative groups. And actually, that's something new. This year, we actually saw a big conservative group, I can't remember the name, they actually backed off. They used to always call it the Day of Truth. They actually stopped sponsoring it this past year. But another group took it on. It didn't get near as much attention as the former group did, but regardless. But that's the Day of Silence, so and it's normally met with something at the end called
The Night of Noise.
Night of Noise, thank you, yes. Where LGBTQ youth and allies will gather and they raise the roof pretty much.
Yeah,
you know,
they have
to,
party basically.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And celebrate. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Make up for being quiet all week.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Well, day.
Sorry, excuse me. The week is, I'm looking at, there's something else called Ally Week. Mm-hmm. What is, that's a new one to me. What's that program?
And that one actually is coming up in October, I believe, 17th through 21st. Mm-hmm. And what it is an opportunity for those who are allies of LGBTQ youth to make statements for their friends and family and the students that they work with. Mm-hmm. That they deserve a safe school environment. So it's an opportunity for, it doesn't matter who you are, what level you're at, it's a chance for you to do something. And there's a whole bunch of activities that GLSEN has on their website for teachers and counselors to do with students to help with that process and help allies figure out ideas and things that they can do during this week that will let people know that these young people are not alone and that they do have people that are on their side.
And the best thing about both of these days of action, I mean, there are others as well that GLSEN supports, but both Ally Week and Day of Silence were both started by young people, and they still are. I mean, they are youth-led, they are youth-driven, and youth-led, youth-organized. And I think that's the beautiful part of it, is that, I mean, we're there for guidance and support and maybe some resources that GLSEN provides, but for the most part, you know, they're really just led by the students and their allies at school.
And honestly, that's what GLSEN is really all about anyway. It's for the students to have resources to make their school safer for themselves and for their friends.
Right.
And so pretty much all that we do is meant to be led by the youth with support from the adults that surround them.
Mm-hmm. Now, how does this work in Tennessee when we can't say gay?
I'm afraid I talk on that one.
And actually, I guess we should start with, what is the status of this bill? Did it pass? Did it pass one House committee? I can't even remember at this point.
It's very confusing. First of all, the name itself is very confusing, and I would like to get away from the "Don't Say Gay" moniker, but I think it's stuck
there.
And it's there. It's never going away, and that's fine because it's been that way for 7 years now. Ever since Representative Stacey, well, now Senator Stacey Campfield, you know, introduced it many years ago. So to answer your question, the status, it passed the Senate. So it passed the Senate. It now has to go to the House, and it is currently lying in the House Subcommittee on Education. So that's where it will be first and foremost. we can keep it in that subcommittee.
Right.
We're good. We are not that, we're not too optimistic, but who knows. It did get changed right before it passed the Senate, and I'll tell you how the name Dumpsite Gay came about, because the language was such that it, quote, well, I'm sorry, it banned the discussion of, quote, any sexuality other than heterosexuality. That was the language of the bill. It changed in the 11th hour, right before it passed the Senate, to say it banned any instruction other than natural human reproduction science, end quote. So
that also applies to groups, I believe, and organizations as well.
Yes, yes, who so, come into the school.
So the language got even broader at that point.
Right, yeah. Basically. Right, and the reason I did that is so that it, you know, groups like ours or Tennessee Equality Project or TTPAC, those who are advocating against this bill, can say, oh, it's not, we're banning even heterosexuality to an extent, you know, certain acts of heterosexuality.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the reason why it's in there. But we're going to have to keep our eyes out for the House Subcommittee on Education and then the Committee on Education. If we can keep it in committee, we'll be okay.
Right.
The governor doesn't seem to think it's going to pass. He's been quoted to say that he doesn't think it's going to pass. But the governor's been very laissez-faire in the legislative session. We are anticipating him to take a more hands-on approach this go-around. And I'm hoping if he does, then we have a better chance of keeping it where it is.
And until it passes, you know, hey, we can
say one. And one of our biggest problems with it, though, is that it doesn't just tie the hands of teachers. I mean, this isn't just limited to the classroom. It opens the door. Let me rephrase that. It's not just limited to classrooms. It restricts even counselors from talking to a student who may have a question.
Right.
If a student approaches a social worker and has a question about somebody in their family, perhaps, or maybe even their own identity, then the school social worker has to just basically say, I cannot talk to you about that. And has to leave them to their own devices. And if they're not getting it at home, they can't get it at church, they can't get it at school, they're hearing it from their peers that it's all just negative and negative and negative. What other resources does this child have?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So.
And then on the other side, and I'll talk about, I have to say this from a personal perspective, because I'm a parent, and my child's going to be going to school next year. She makes no bones about running around saying, I've got two mommies.
Right.
You know, and has no shame, no concerns about that. So what happens when she starts talking in class about her two mommies? Mm-hmm. And will she be basically, be quiet, if we don't talk about that?
Mm-hmm. How's she going to be responded to in class?
Yeah, how's she
going to
be responded to? Right. And there are a lot of others. That's a lot more LGBT people are having families, having children. And a lot of us are, our children are coming up through the schools now, so how is that going to impact instruction and their experience?
Right. So bottom line on that one right now is that it's not in effect. You are able to function in the school environment and provide your services, but if this passes out of the House at their return to legislative session, then it will start affecting broad swaths of our GLBT youth and community and schools. So.
And we also don't know how it would impact the existing gay-straight alliances in the schools. I mean, they take different names, like Spectrum, Diversity Club, or whatever, what have you, but the gay-straight alliances, or GSAs, are something that we support to a broad extent. And we don't really know at this point what that's going to mean for the existing GSAs, or upcoming GSAs, for that matter.
Right.
You know, what that's going to do to their activities, what that's going to do to their existence as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And for many students, that is the only place of solace that they get while they're there for 8 hours a day, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And then what impact does that have on the Equal Access Act, too? You know, they're supposed to have access to these
right.
organizations.
Mm-hmm. And the Equal Access Act that Callie just referred to is the a landmark Supreme Court decision back in the 80s, I believe, that was actually brought about from a religious group who wanted access to school-sanctioned clubs and organizations. But now it allows students to form a school club or organization
the court decision establishes a bar of equal access across the school
right.
systems.
Right. Right. If you're going to have one type of organization, you've got to allow for others as
right.
well.
And this is, of course, student-conceived and concerned
right.
organizations, right. and ones they students actually want.
Right.
Right.
They've got to allow one, they got to allow all.
Don't say gay bill's going to hit a lot of obstacles and if it even comes out of committee. So.
Right.
Well, are there any other upcoming projects with the fall season that, you're talking about students coming back and needing resources? Are there mm-hmm. any other programs that you're about to launch, going to work on, or gleams in your eye that you're getting ready to pull out of it?
Well, we've got Ally coming up in October, and I think that's probably number one at this point. We have space-based kids trainings, like I said, coming up as well, and that's also a priority for the school administration. And let me just say, Metro Nashville has been incredibly, incredibly receptive to our resistance here, and they have been really, really supportive. I mean, we could not have gotten the trainings done already if it were not for them. We have to give a shout-out to Metro Nashville Public Schools because they have been tremendous in launching in support of our brand new chapter,
yeah.
I mean, in getting the entire state blanketed with these safe space kits, I mean, that is a really, really big deal.
Mm-hmm.
That only two other states in our country can say that they have that. So, I mean, that's big. That's a huge accomplishment. I'm sorry, I just have to revel on that for a second.
And then get ready for it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's basically we're just like hitting the ground running, which
yeah.
is a good feeling to it. Right. It's a good stress.
So if individuals want to support the GLSEN chapter with some love support or financial support,
mm-hmm.
Are you set up to receive donations and contributions
yeah.
and volunteer time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
you can email us, like I said, middletn@chapters.glsen.org. We have a bank account here, so you can go to our website through the GLSEN national website, and you could donate via them, and then we get the money sent here. And that's another really cool thing about the GLSEN chapters and the GLSEN network is that 90% of the funds stay local.
Right.
It's not like HRC where it all goes to D.C. It all stays here in Tennessee. I mean, except for 90%. We do get 10% to national. But then, even the national funds get funneled back down to us in some way.
Yeah.
So,
like with the Safe Space Kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's wonderful that you are here on the ground and your brand spanking new little organization is going to become a really big one when the word goes out this year. And I want to thank you for spending time with me this morning so we could talk about it all.
We really appreciate you.
Yes, thank you.
Listeners, I have been speaking with the co-chairs of the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network of Middle Tennessee, Brad Palmertree and Callie Wise. Thank you both for coming in today.
Thank you.
Queer Talk Radio is a Joyce Arnold production, airing during DJ Ron's Out of the Closet. Archives of Queer Talk Radio can be found at queertalkradio.podomatic.com. This is Carter Witt, serving as your guest interviewer for today. Thank you for tuning in.